Lord, I bring this to you today, and I ask that you would speak to all of us today. And all of us have a child inside of us, and I ask that you would alert that child to hear what we're supposed to say here and today for each of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Kids are great, especially if they aren't spoiled and act ugly. Kids are great when they are fully honest and innocent and are in the discovery mode of learning. We all have stories, I'm sure, and about the honesty, innocence, and fresh way that kids can look at the world. They're not stifled by grown-up thinking. They are brutally honest at times without even knowing it. Little 7-year-old Margaret was constantly getting into trouble, and finally one day her mother, hoping to be particularly impressive to Margaret, said, "Don't you know that if you keep on doing these naughty things, your children will be naughty too?" And Margaret, with a twinkle in her eye, said, "Oh, Mother, now you have given yourself away." Little Bobby's friends were noisily calling for him to come out and play, and finally little Bobby appeared at the door and said, "I can't come out just now. I'm taking a nap." One man was raking his yard and was about burning his leaves in the street, and this was back when you could actually burn your leaves in the street, and the neighborhood children would come flocking around the fire, and this guy noticed that there was a girl he had not seen before, and he decided to make her acquaintance, and he says, "Hello, isn't this a new face?" And she looked at him in a matter-of-fact way and said, "No, it ain't new, it's just been washed." Kids are great. It's just they can say things that just creep up on us. Little Jane, whose grandmother was visiting her family, was going to bed when her mother called, "Don't forget to include Grandma in your prayers tonight, that God should bless her and let her live to be very, very old." And little Jane shot back, "Oh, she's old enough. I'd rather pray that God would make her young." Well, today, that's my prayer for some of us. Because we can get very old in our thinking. Some of us are old enough. We need to pray that God will make us young again. And the scripture for the message today is Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, and then verse 10. And I use this on Christmas Eve as well. So let's read it together. Here we go. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one child, such child in my name, receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels behold the face of my Father who is in heaven.'" Now, today it is my desire to set you on a journey this year, especially to seek the child within you to bless you, to bless it, to that child, that it would be blessed through rebirth and recovery. The truth is that all of us were born into this world with a freshness and an untainted beauty of possibility. But somehow along the way, for a lot of us, the plan of God gets smashed somehow or stepped on, and even if we have the best of circumstances when we're growing up, there's not one of us who has not come into this service today as damaged goods. In some way, we're damaged goods. If we weren't victims of others, then we're fully capable of, in varying degrees, of fouling ourselves without anybody else's help. But today, more and more, I see grown people in whom the little child inside has been crushed or beaten or mutilated or killed. I find myself more and more in ministry to broken children in adult bodies. When I used to go home, I grew up here in Decatur, but I moved away for 30 years. I came back because I missed the smell. But I would come home to my parents' house. And in my parents' house, there was a wall. They had a hallway it was filled with pictures on the wall. They were pictures of our family in all stages of growth and development. There were pictures of my brother, myself, my parents at different ages, and my cousins, my niece, my nephews. All kinds of pictures in the hallway. It was a family picture hallway. It was a collage, you might say, of the Pitzer family. My childhood was pretty good, mostly. How many of you have pictures of yourself when you were little and you can look at that picture and it conjures up horrible memories? You don't keep those pictures in mind very much, but you come across those kinds of pictures occasionally. And you remember something and it drives home an old wound in you, a childhood agony. You see, each of us has a kid within us. And that child is still part of us. We don't think about this much, but in fact, the child is the father of the man, or the child is the mother of the woman. Sure, we've become adults, but within each of us is a child. And some of those children who are sitting where you are right now are beaten and battered and crippled and crushed and victims. Children who are verbally abused and cursed by their parents. Children who think they are responsible for the separation and divorce of their parents. Brutalize themselves along with the situation. Children who are sexually abused and scarred for life, crippled in their own psyche. Children who are neglected and therefore feel unwanted and unloved. Children who are cast off. Children whose father is missing. Children whose mother is missing. And abandonment is the issue. Adults just sitting here. Children, and they are all sitting here in this room today. Most of them are you, adults, but children nonetheless. So let's be children today for a few minutes. Okay, kids? We're children. Let's be children today. The man you see standing before you is really an 8-year-old boy inside of here. And that 8-year-old boy is the father of the man. And I tell you, my friend, no matter how much or how little anybody else loves you, God loves you. You're here today because God loves you. God kept you, and he says to you today, I want you to find the little child in you, because if you can find that child, you will come to trust me, because I would never hurt that child. From this 8-year-old up here to the 8-year-old in you, I want you to know that God has plans for the child that is in you, and though this world may have hurt the child that is you, or you have hurt yourself, God has never hurt that child, and he is faithful as a parent. So the scripture says, at that time the disciples came to him, to Jesus, and they said, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven they're asking about is not castles in the sky by and by. The kingdom of heaven is right here today, and it has to do with God's rule in our lives, God's order of things, and how God intends for things to be. And the kingdom of heaven is about the will of God for this world and for your life and for my life. The kingdom of heaven has to do with God's order of things. And so when the disciples ask this question, who is greatest in the kingdom of God, the real issue was not so much, how can I be more important than anybody else? so much as the question, how can I find greater significance or eternal significance in terms of my life and who I am as a person? And these disciples had seen Jesus heal people. They had seen him forgive people and raise people from the dead and walk on water. They had seen Jesus cast out demons in people's lives being stampeded by them. They had seen Jesus do all kinds of things. And relationships would get straightened out and people would be reconciled and joy would come forth. And every time he would do these things, he would say, the kingdom of God is in your midst. So I think they were saying, how can it be any better than this? It doesn't get any better than this. And these disciples were asking this kind of question. They were seeing people healed, fulfilled, and brought to life around Jesus. So they asked the question, how can this happen through us and in us in a greater way? How can our lives work in such a way that there is more significance to who we are? So they come to Jesus. They ask him a question. How can we get more out of our lives, this life that we're living right now? What do we need to do or be to live more fully with greater significance in terms of who we are in the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God? And that was the question. And Jesus, okay. He says, okay, if you really want to know, you really want it, then here it is. Notice what Jesus does and he says. You know, we read the scriptures and we don't think about who is he talking to. He is talking to disciples here. He's talking to his people. He brings an object lesson to them, and he puts a small child in the middle of them, and that's the visible object. And then he begins the teaching. Read with me verse 3. Here we go. And said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now notice what it says. Unless you turn and become. There are three words here, and the first word is unless. He starts by saying, if you want more, then this is the condition. There, under no other condition will it happen. Without this accompanying condition, it just is not going to happen. It'll weed out other ways of being. You must reject your grown-up ways of thinking, unless you become like children. And then he says two very powerful words, unless you turn and become. Those are three words, unless you turn and become like children, you can't even get in to the kingdom of heaven. Unless, that's the condition. The second word, turn, here is the word for conversion. It has three aspects to us. It means to turn around. It's kind of like this. I just turn around. You know, that's what it means. Second, it means to turn away from something. I'm turned away from you right now. And the third one, it means to turn towards something or into something. The first idea is to turn around, and it is best represented in the word repent, which is a very strong church word. What it means in truth is just to change your direction. Repent of one way of going and go in another way. If I were going south and I decided to go north, I would repent of going south. That is turn around and you go north. I would change directions. When this takes place in a person and we talk about conversion, repentance has to do with changing the direction of your life from following the way of the world and seeking spiritual direction in your life by following Jesus. The second idea in this turn is to turn away or turn from something. It means to renounce something. If an alcoholic turns from alcohol to live a life of sobriety, that person not only turns around and changes direction in their life, but they also renounce alcohol, saying, I will not have anything to do with this anymore. I am through with alcohol. And that's what they do. They renounce it. So the idea of conversion or turn is to change direction and also to renounce that former direction. It has a third meaning as well, and that's to turn towards or turn into something. That's walk in a newly chosen way. This new way leads to a new order of things in your life. It releases new opportunities, new ways of thinking, new ways of doing things, and it is a new order of life. So when Jesus says we have to turn, he means we have to turn around, turn away, and turn into a new way of being. And we have to repent, turn around, renounce, in order to find new release in terms of the direction that God has for you. Now, it's something that that changes the basic structure of your life, your thinking, and the way you respond to life. Now, notice, I want you to notice something about this scripture. We don't think about it. Jesus didn't tell the disciples, unless you clean up your life or clean up your act and change your lifestyle and be a nicer person and quit spitting on others. He didn't say those kinds of things. He said something has to happen on the inside of you. By the way, he is addressing all of us right here. The church has a tendency to just think of this in terms of new Christians. But he, in so doing, we miss the point here. Jesus was talking about those who already knew him. Just like us, who already may know him as Savior. He was not speaking to unconverted crowds. He was talking to those who had expressed an interest in following him and learning from him and being like him. Why would he have to say that to these disciples? Well, the truth is, the longer we know Jesus and the older we get, the more we become set in our ways and not his ways. Because we have grown up in Jesus, therefore, we know it all. He didn't tell the child to become like a child. He told the adults to become like children. Kids, you listening? The third word here is the word to become. You need to become. And that word actually has two basic ideas to it. The two ideas are birth and creation. Jesus is talking about a birthing. The birthing is a spiritual birth. The only way to become a child is by birth, whether we're talking about the physical child or our spiritual life. We have to be born to become a child. In the third chapter of John, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he states the truth, that unless you are born spiritually, you can't even see the kingdom, let alone enter it. So this word become holds the idea of spiritual birth. But it also holds the idea of creation. And creation is where something comes into being which was never there before. So Jesus is saying, unless you turn around and renounce your own adult ways of thinking and turn into the direction of being childlike in nature and thinking, then to be born spiritually and allow that the coming of into being of a totally new person, a new creation, you can't even get into the kingdom, let alone see it. Now, you know what I see today? I see a lot of people who need to turn and become like children. The older we get, the more we need this message. You listen to me, kids? The older we get, spiritually speaking, the more we need this message too. It's not just a message either. It's the truth. Unless you take it to heart, disciples, it doesn't get any better than where you are right now. You have reached your significance. you have reached all the revelation you're going to get in this life unless you let it all go and turn and become like children again. There is a big difference between maturity and aging. I know. Aging is something that the body does. Maturity is something that a human being does. Spiritual growth is not learning something new from an encyclopedia, but it's learning the fundamental wisdoms of life. You know, our bodies age, but we can also age spiritually. You can be 10 years old or 15 or 20 years old in whatever years in terms of meeting Jesus for the first time as a believer, and you started your growth at that point. And I don't know where that is for all of us, but it could be anywhere in the last 50 years. But someplace along the line, you turned a corner, and all you are doing now is aging as a Christian. You need to hear me on this, because you aren't really growing in the Lord anymore. There's not a deeper love, a greater spirit of service, ongoing search for truth in Jesus anymore. You're just getting older in the Lord. And just like our bodies, the same thing has happened in terms of your spiritual life as well. You are aging. And what it brings spiritually is the same thing that physical aging brings: inflexibility, loss of strength, loss of endurance, unresponsiveness, a person who is tired of life and just gets cantankerous. So that little child that got born again in Jesus can become an old person instead of a growing person who is growing in terms of maturity. A child. We only grow in our childhood physically. You know, we also only grow spiritually if we can remain children or childlike, or we can turn and become like children again and again and again. I watched my dad when he was old. He never lost the ability to think about new things and learn new things. I took it to heart. I've been here almost 21 years, and a good many of you may have been here for years, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, whoever. Anyway, you may have come here since I came here. The truth is, some of you are just aging now. You were once growing, but now you are just aging. And the truth is, if you don't turn and become like children again, you won't find any more significance to who you are to this life. You will not find any new dimensions of significance, creativity, or fulfillment than where you are right now. You have to become a child again for it to happen. And it's only as we turn and become like children that there will be a new creative work of God happen in us. It is only as we continue to turn and become like children that the creative flow of God will continue. So what is a little child? I want you to look at that child within you. 8 years old, so in that area. Do you see that child within you? When Jesus says we must become like children, what are the characteristics of children? Well, we can kind of encapsulate that into 3 or 4 characteristics. First thing, children are teachable and shapeable. They don't know it all, and they know they don't know it all. They are expectant and trusting. That is, they are looking for new things all the time. And they have a basic instinct to trust other people, especially their parents. They are also humble, and basically humble means to be open to receive. They are open to receive new ideas, new things and do not have preconceived notions about their lives that block new things from happening or block new things from being seen. Now, we need to be teachable and shapeable. You know how flexible kids are physically, but they're also flexible mentally. They are growing. We need to be like that and not just aging. Become like that and turn from rigid, inflexible thinking. The most obvious way of inflexible thinking is this kind of statement. This is the way we've always done it. This is the way I was brought up. I've never done that before. Basically, these kinds of statements say that you are just too rigid to do anything different or try anything new and learn a new way. In other words, you are no longer teachable or shapeable. You are rigid and inflexible. Now, this can happen in parts of your life or all of your life, and we need to be teachable and shapeable. We also need to be expectant and trusting like children. Is there anyone here who recently the Lord wanted you to take a step in faith and you just decided not to do it? It wasn't a matter of sin. It's just a matter of not taking a step in faith. You looked at it with a balanced view of this life and you determined it was a risk you didn't want to take. You probably would have done it earlier in life or earlier in your Christian life, but you're older now. Now, I don't recognize that as maturity. That's aging. You're getting old in your soul, and I don't have to name names, but I tell you what, there's a good number of people here today, and you've got this problem right now. You are no longer growing. You are just aging in your faith. You no longer are expectant, and you no longer take chances when the Lord calls you to do something. The third thing about kids that we need to really understand is the humility of kids. Humility has to do with receiving like the ground receives seed or rain. If your life has become so hardened with age that you don't receive blessings or revelations that you used to, it just kind of runs off of you. It just can't penetrate the hardened ground of your soul. Your attitudes, you're just beaten down hard. And you need to become like a child, humble, willing to receive again. The question that that the disciples asked Jesus was, who is greatest in the kingdom? How can we be the most possible in terms of eternal significance for our lives? And Jesus gets this kid, this little child, and he says, unless you turn and become like a child, you can't even get into the kingdom. And then Jesus answers the original question. Read with me verse 4. Here we go. Whoever humbles himself like this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child. This humility is to be teachable and shapeable and expectant and trusting when it comes to being led by Jesus. The summons to greatness of who you are and what you are about is a pathway. So I want you to raise this up as 2019. Seek the child within you to become like that child once again. Today there may be somebody here who needs to come to Jesus and receive him as Savior. You need to become like a little child and receive your salvation. But others of us don't need to come to Jesus and receive him as Savior today, but we need to come and say, Lord, I need to freshly humble myself and put away the past and come before you to receive a newness of life, a new childlikeness today. This is the year of the child. Let us turn and become like children in the presence of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you help all of us not to get just old in the faith, but that we would grow in the faith instead. In Jesus' name, Amen.